Hello again, and welcome in to another episode of the Lion's Edge podcast, brought to you by BetMGM. I am your host, Chase Kitty. Well, guys and girls, we made it. We have made it to the end of the college football season. We definitely made some money this year. I will wait till next week to give the final pre-bowl regular season official plays record, but it is it's pretty in the clear. If we have a nice week this week, it could be like a really, really solid number. So check social media and the Roar, the BetMGM blog, for more on that, on our outstanding year of college football. Really good year of NFL, too. Of course, we've still got several weeks to go on that front. And then college basketball, hockey, NBA, all queuing up right now. And looking strong on all the early starts to these seasons. Looking forward to diving more into the college basketball stuff with the additional free time I'm going to have and with college football kind of winding down here. We've still got today's episode, of course, and for the most part, this is a normal episode. We're going to talk about Week 13 NFL. I'm going to give you any looks that I have, any feelings, any analysis I have for the Week 14 conference championship games. But of course, as always, Thursday episode, we've got Thursday Night Football tonight, so we are starting with a look at the game that is most immediately available for all of the bettors out there in the community. That is, of course, Thursday Night Football, Amazon, Bills at Patriots. Bills opened around 5.5 for this game. That's come down to 3.5. The total on the move as well, 45.5 down to 43.5. Let's wind the clocks back just a bit so we've got some context on what Buffalo is right now. They won in Kansas City in October. That weird game that we got right here on this podcast where I said, hey, look, they're hanging Buffalo as a favorite in Kansas City for a reason. That makes me like the Bills. Lots of other people liked the Chiefs. Like, how are you going to give the Chiefs points at home? That was, you know, that was the common refrain that week. The Bills win that game. And I don't bring that up to take a victory lap on a pick that I got right a month and a half ago. I bring it up to remind you that after that game, Buffalo was the team to beat in the NFL. They were instant Super Bowl favorites. They were at the peak of their powers, right? That was where the Bills' rating was at its absolute highest. Let's look at what they've done since then. They had the bye right after that. They come out of the bye. They miss a cover at home against Green Bay, who we know is lousy. They lost outright as a double-digit favorite at the Jets. They lose the crazy game to Minnesota. They're supposed to play Cleveland at home, but the thunder snow makes the NFL move the game to Detroit, where the Bills start slow. They ended kind of sloppy, but played a pretty solid middle there. Middle 30 minutes, I guess you could say. The cover depended on what number you got and when in the week you got it. I believe it closed at 8, and the Bills won 31-23. So a push for a lot of game day bettors. If you bet it pre-flop, it just depended where you got it. After playing Cleveland in Detroit, the Bills then stuck around to play Detroit in Detroit on Thanksgiving Day. That was last Thursday. Now they are playing on Thursday again in New England. So that's 4 out of 5 away from home. Josh Allen has elbow problems. There's injuries in the secondary. There's a lot going on here that's taking away from the Bills' presumed dominance from a month and a half ago. They have been overvalued in the betting market. That is just a fact. That is not opinion. Like I said, this depends a little bit on where you got that Cleveland number. But the Bills haven't covered a game since that Kansas City win. That was their last cover. Again, that's sort of writing in a push for that Cleveland game because the number was kind of all over the place. That's remarkable that the Bills haven't covered in a month and a half. And you know, a lot of great teams go through this sort of thing. Kansas City had a very long spell like this where they were losing a lot of games outright, really weren't covering anything. So I am a little reticent to just go to the well with the Bills here for all of those reasons. You can understand why the line is moving toward New England. But let's take a look at the New England side of this. Very little confidence in Mac Jones right now. I have very little confidence in Belichick versus a powerful offense in 2022. I think I see the case for New England, which is basically that Buffalo is sliding, they're overvalued, and that they have had a pretty wild last 30 days where they're all over the place. That's not a bad case. But the fact that the number goes down from 5.5 to 3.5 kind of wipes out the most important part of that argument, which is that Buffalo has been overvalued. Well, they're not really that overvalued anymore when you're taking away 2 points, and a pretty critical 2 points, too. When you go from basically 6 down close to 3. That's a pretty big sea change. So I'm not sure how much we can rely on the idea that Buffalo has been overvalued with the number degraded like that. If you guys listen to the podcast, when you hear me sort of talk around the edges of both sides of a game like this, you kind of understand where I'm going. This is not a firm play for me, at least on the side. I think what I'm going to do with this game is go small on a semi-contrarian over. Lots of pros are expecting cold physical divisional rivalry game, but that's similar to what many expected last week when the Pats went to Minnesota. Obviously, that wasn't a divisional game, but sort of similar style of game. That game went over at a very similar number. That was 41.5. This is 43.5. What's more, if you throw out the crazy weather game from last year where the wind was sort of howling in upstate New York and Buffalo was just out of control that game and the Pats ended up winning, throw that game out. Here are the last few scores from Bills-Pats games. Last year's playoffs, 47-17, way, way over. Buffalo hit that over by itself, actually didn't even need the 17 points from the Patriots. 3 weeks earlier, in the waning weeks of the 2021 regular season, the Bills won 33-21. In 2020, the first year Tom Brady was gone, Josh Allen still in Buffalo, the Pats were scraping it together, 45 and 47 points in their two games. So all of those numbers north of the 43.5 here. I suspect that we could get a similar outcome like that on Thursday night, sort of a 24-21 kind of game. And so that would be an over. I don't think this is particularly sharp. Last I saw market-wide, a majority of tickets were on the over here. But it seems like a lot of the sharps, from what I understand, reading signals and everything, seems like a lot of the sharps are on the under here. I don't know that this is a sharp move for me. I don't know that this is a square move for me. I think it's just kind of a bet. It is a small bet, I think, on the over 43.5 is what I'm going to do for Thursday Night Football. I think maybe to really underline one small part of this that I think is interesting, it feels like a lot of people, when they think Bills Pats, now think of, at least in recent history, they think of that weird weather game. And they sort of project that northeastern, potentially crazy weather that happened one time in a very discrete instance. They project that onto all the Bills-Pats games, and that's not necessarily the weather you're going to get on December 1st in New England. It'll be cold. It could snow, hypothetically, but it's not like you're going to get weather like that every time. I think it's given people this false impression of what the game actually looks like, and I think maybe there's market value in that. I could be crazy, but that's kind of a little pet theory that I have for this. So give me over 43.5. That is enough about that game. Nothing yet for Thursday for me in college basketball, in the NBA, or in the NHL. You can stay tuned on the Action app. I put all my plays on there, as you know. So I would just keep looking for that, and I'm sure I'll have something. College football championship week. I want to talk about Caleb Williams for just a second, who right now, he's not just the Heisman favorite according to the odds we have at BetMGM. He is like the runaway. Nobody's even close to him. It's obviously going to be him. And it doesn't feel like that in like real life college football talking about stuff environment. But that's what the odds say. And I do assume he's going to be the winner. You know, I did a lot of anti-USC stuff in the summer, and I talked about how I felt like, you know, USC, the market was shot to death, and it was just being way overbet. I have a USC under win total ticket that is already a loser. I was generally expecting them to not do this. And it's not like they beat up on a bunch of Pac-12 teams that aren't very good. I think the Pac-12 has real depth this year, kind of like what the Big 12 has most years, where you know they don't necessarily have the top-end contenders. They don't have a lot of top five teams. But there's no easy outs. It's certainly more true in the Big 12 than the Pac-12. But there's very few easy outs, and there's a lot of impressive top 40, top 50 kinds of wins. And I think for USC to go 11-1 and be, you know, pretty close to 12-0 when you consider how they lost that Utah game, pretty impressive. Pretty impressive, and speaks to just how elite of an offensive coach Lincoln Riley is. I still think if USC goes to the playoff, somebody's going to blow the doors off them. I don't think they're going to be competitive at all. I don't care how good Caleb Williams and Lincoln Riley are together. But good for USC. That said, they play in the Pac-12 championship game Friday night. I think this is a fascinating handicap. USC opened at -1 in Las Vegas. So neutral site, but you got to think there's going to be a lot of USC fans there, I would think. I mean, they're begging you to take USC when you're basically not having to lay points. You get USC -1 is basically USC pick 'em. You know, there's really not much spread you've got to lay when it's only the 1 point. And for them to offer up USC like that, for the book to do that, really makes me think Utah is the play. And there was some pretty much immediate action that pushed USC out to -3, but even them laying it there and giving you Utah plus the 3 value aside, even that is kind of begging you to bet USC. I mean, unsurprisingly, I think market-wide, there's something like 80, 85% of the tickets are on USC. More than 90% of the market-wide money is on USC. They really want you to take USC here, and lots of people are just lining up at the trough and happy to, you know, stick their face in there. I'm not going to be the one who jumps in front of the bullet train here with Lincoln Riley's offense and Caleb Williams playing for a spot for the playoff, but I think it is important to keep in mind a couple of things here. Number one, I've already made this clear. They're begging you to bet USC. Probably think twice before doing the thing the sportsbook is making it really easy to do. Number two, it's easy in championship week to factor in, like, hey, this team has more to play for, so they're going to win. They're going to cover this small number. That's not how this stuff works. And if you need a better, there's very few teams that are better examples of this than the one that USC is going to line up and play this weekend. Because it was only a couple of years ago where Oregon's playing Utah in the Pac-12 championship. And Utah was the one where if they won, they were probably in the college football playoff. Guess what happened? They didn't win. Utah was priced as a, you know, decent little favorite. And everybody was happy to bet Utah because they not just because they were higher ranked, but because if they won, they were in the playoff. It's right there for you. Of course they're going to take it. And then they didn't. And Oregon won, and Utah didn't go to the playoff, and the Pac-12's playoff drought continues. So just because USC is probably in the playoff when they win this game doesn't mean that's a reason to bet USC. If anything, it's a reason to think twice about why the sportsbook is so willing to give you USC at -1 at the beginning of the week. And now they're giving it to you at -3, maybe back to -2.5 when you're listening to this. It seems really easy. This is a stay away from me, but I had to talk about it because the number says so much. It's good conversational fodder. Speaking of teams where there are stakes to read into the game, let's go to the American Conference Championship, where UCF is playing Tulane. And if Tulane wins this game, they will most likely be the highest-ranked G5 team at the end of the year. They will go on to play in a bowl game, in not just any bowl game, but the New Year's Six bowl game that's extended to the highest-ranked G5. So, not surprisingly, Tulane is pegged as the favorite because of that. And I actually don't think the sports books really anticipated the public's willingness to bet Tulane in this spot enough, because they hung Tulane -2.5 to start the week. Pretty heavy action right away on Tulane minus the short number. That number is now up to Tulane -4. I liked UCF at +2.5. So I definitely like UCF at +4. They are going to be in the column this week on the Roar, on the BetMGM blog, as one of my favorite plays from championship week. I think they're the better team. They already beat Tulane outright once this year. I think they can do it again. I think the difference between 2.5 and 4 in a championship game is pretty big. So I like UCF. I'll take them +4, and I'm going to take a shot with the outright money line ticket as well. I think this is a very real case of Tulane having something to play for bias in the betting market. And just because they can go to a New Year's Six Bowl does not mean they're definitely going to win this game and go to a New Year's Six Bowl. So you have to keep that in mind. That is a very specific bias that's in the market this specific week of the college football season. Keep that in mind. Couple of quick notes here on the Big 12 championship and the SEC championship. I'm not going to do every game. Okay, I don't have a play on every game. I do want to mention here some contrarian trends with these two games. Oftentimes, it is very profitable to bet the under in the Big 12 championship and the over in the SEC championship. Right now, TCU Kansas State, that number is 61.5 and going up. Maybe wait till later in the week, you'll get the best number to bet the under on. SEC, pretty stagnant number, hasn't moved a whole lot. I saw open 50.5 and now up to 51. There's one that I'm thinking about the over, haven't decided for sure whether or not I'm going to pull the trigger. I'll also mention TCU. People are talking about how that's a neutral site because it's a championship game. And it technically is. It's played at AT&T, where the Dallas Cowboys play. But, you know, if you've spent any time in Dallas, like Fort Worth is like the southern suburb of Dallas, basically. And, I mean, they're basically playing the game in Dallas. So it's in Arlington, but, like, that's another suburb of Dallas. Dallas is just, you know, miles and miles long, and it's super sprawled like any big, western U.S. city. So it's not a home game, but it is kind of a little bit of a home game. So maybe factor that into your handicap for a point or two. Unlikely game that I really like this week. I don't bet a lot of Maction because it feels like people just do it to do it. There's football on a Tuesday. We better bet on it because it's on. So I actually try to stay away from the Maction. I feel like it's totally nuts and unpredictable. I really like a side in this game. Toledo versus Ohio, noon Saturday for the Maction Championship. I can tell you exactly what's going on with this number right now. I know exactly what the market is doing. Toledo is 7-5 straight up, not against the spread. Their record this year is 7-5. Ohio straight up 9-3. So you got a 9-3 team playing a 7-5 team in the MAC title game. The 7-5 team is the favorite. And everybody has looked at this game and gone, the 9-3 team is catching 4.5 points and it's a championship game. Sure, I don't really know anything about either of these two teams, but I'll take the team with more wins that's getting the points. And so the number has come down from Toledo 4.5 to Toledo 1.5. Now, I'm going to tell you, there is almost certainly a very good reason why the sportsbook hung the 7-win team as the favorite over the 9-win team. And not just hung them as a favorite, but 4.5 is a pretty specific number. You know, you have key spots at 3 and 4. So when you hang it at 4 plus the hook, you are saying, hey, we think this team is definitely the right team to be favored. And for you to now be able to go by Toledo at 1.5, not 4.5, they're down to 1.5. Basically, you just need them to win. That is a huge value proposition. I think it's ridiculous that Ohio is probably being bet in this spot because of what the optics of the two teams' records look like. Two-thirds of the tickets in this game, market-wide, on Ohio, and yet a majority of the handle appears to be on Toledo. So I can't believe I'm saying this. I think Toledo's my favorite college play of the week. I mean, that's insane. I haven't really watched that much MAC this year, but just the way the game profiles and why I'm the way I'm pretty sure I know why the line is behaving this way and why people are betting this game. I mean, I think this is my favorite bet of the week, which is nuts, but there it is. Last one for me, I think, that I want to mention is the ACC title game. Clemson is a 7.5-point favorite against North Carolina. I like Clemson here. I know they let us down last week, but I just feel like North Carolina has been completely exposed as a fraudulent team over the last couple of weeks. I mean, losing to Georgia Tech, losing to NC State. Like, they're not a good team. They were playing with fire. They're a massive regression target. I'm not saying they're not the rightful Coastal champion, because they are probably the best team in that division. It's just they weren't as good as people thought they were. And now I think, I think they should be like a double-digit dog in this game, probably. I think Clemson is far better than them. I think now you get a pissed-off Dabo and a pissed-off Clemson team because they're coming off the loss to rival South Carolina. I think they're going to smash North Carolina in this spot. I think they're going to expose them as the flawed team that they are, and I think Clemson covers this number with ease. So we've got a little Clemson rubber match here. We got the cover with them 2 weeks ago against Miami. We lost the cover last week against South Carolina. So this one's for all the marbles. We will bet on Clemson for the third week in a row. And Clemson 7.5. Feel pretty good about it. Let's talk NFL. You guys know I'm a marketplace bettor. You know I look at the numbers and the line movement and the ticket handle splits and all this stuff that I do. Like, this is what creates long-term value. This is my way of betting. Right? But I know lots of other people bet the actual football. And I do every once in a while. Every once in a while, I see a matchup where I go, oh, I want that side because of the matchup potential value there. And I see a couple spots like that this week in the NFL schedule for week 13. One of my favorite plays of the week, Houston +7. Against the Browns in Deshaun Watson's return to the field and his return to Houston. Everybody is betting Cleveland in this spot. Everybody's signing up to lay the touchdown with the Browns. The line has not moved at all. I have seen numbers like more than 80% of the tickets are on Cleveland. I've seen stuff like more than 90% of the handles on Cleveland. Doesn't matter. Line hasn't moved. So there's your first very good indicator that Houston is an interesting side here. How about also the fact that Cleveland has the 31st ranked rush defense by PFF? They have not been able to defend the run all year. Damian Pierce is going to feast against this team. Houston's going to play ball control. They're going to keep the ball out of Cleveland's offensive hands. I am taking a shot with Houston +7. I have bought the Houston money line ticket at +260. And let's also not forget, before we move on to the next game, everybody's talking about Deshaun Watson in this spot. Deshaun Watson hasn't played a regular season professional football game in 2 years. His last regular season game was in January of 2021. It was the 2020 regular season. That is his last football game. So before we decide that he's definitely going to be awesome in this game, can we watch him play first? Can we watch him play one game before we decide he's still awesome? Because I got to tell you, I don't think you just come back from all everything that's happened and all the distractions and you just walk on the field and you're awesome again. I think that's really unlikely with a team you've never really played with before. Seems unlikely to me. So I love Houston this week. I want every possible piece. I don't even really bet props. You guys know I don't care for props that much. I'm loading up on Damian Pierce props. I'm betting Deshaun Watson unders. Like, I love so many spots this weekend in that game. Another spot that I like because of the matchup specifically, Tennessee is going to Philadelphia to play the Eagles. The Eagles are another team, a little bit like the Bills, where I think this has been discussed, so it's not like nobody said this. It's not like I'm the only person that's seen this. But the Eagles just haven't had a good November. 1-3 against the spread in November. Their lone cover was last week by half a point against Green Bay. They were a 6.5-point favorite at close. They won by 7. The market is shot on them because they jumped out to the start. Everybody jumps on them, bets them every week. And now their spreads are inflated. It's tough to get a cover with them because the numbers are so high. 6.5, number I like to bet in the first place on the dog. Tennessee opens 6.5. We know that Philly is having trouble defending the run right now. They're not as bad as Cleveland, but they have some personnel issues up front, interior defensive line. They're not defending the run really well right now. Well, what do you think Tennessee wants to do? What's the only thing that Tennessee wants to do? They're going to shove that ball down the Eagles' throats. They're going to run for 300 yards on these guys. They're just going to run, 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 and the Eagles are not going to have the ball. They're not good at playing from behind. I think Tennessee wins this game outright. I think the Eagles lose their second game this week against Tennessee because the matchup is poor for them. So again, it's a spot where I like Tennessee plus the points, just like Houston, and it's a spot where I'm also sprinkling in on top with the money line for the outright win. Tennessee opened 6.5. They're now down to 5.5 at BetMGM. I'm still taking it at 5.5. Still betting that money line. Different look here. Jacksonville at Detroit. Jacksonville goes for 2, gets the win against the Ravens last week at home. I talked a little bit about how that number I thought was kind of fishy, how it felt like that number should be 6, and then it was 4, and it was kind of like, that's interesting. Why is that number like that? Well, there you go. We got our answer. So now everybody loves Jacksonville again. Didn't take long for everybody to fall right back in love with Jacksonville. It's a 4-7 team that beat an overrated Ravens team on a high leverage play at the end of the game. And all of a sudden, everybody's betting on Jacksonville to win outright on the road. Now, I get that it's Detroit. But Detroit, in its last 5 games, has looked like a straight-up playoff team, all right? They won 3 games as outright dogs. The other 2 games, they played against definite playoff teams, the Dolphins and the Bills, and they were 1-score games late. They finished as 1-score games. So I think Detroit is playing really well the last month. And I think people are way overreacting to Jacksonville. They are way too quick to jump back on the Jacksonville bandwagon, just like after that Chargers game in September. Way too much Jacksonville love here. Detroit is playing well. They have a good sample size of playing well. It's not just they got one decent win. I like Detroit here on the money line. I liked them when you could buy them, when you were buying them on the money line at minus 115, which is where I bet them early in the week. You can now get them for a better number than that because Jacksonville has become the favorite in this game. So Detroit, give them to me. I like the Lions this week. Another one that I think is really interesting, Broncos-Ravens. You know, the Broncos have been one of those teams. I've talked about a few teams like this, the Panthers early and then the Raiders kind of through October and early November, and then it was the Broncos. You know, they give you a million reasons why they're a bad bet, and they can't cover anything. But every week you come back, and they're still like +2, +1.5, -1. They're getting these numbers where it's like, you haven't given me any incentive or value or reason to bet on this team. This is a damaged team. If you're going to make me bet on a damaged team, I want to get some freaking points. And Denver never got any points, which is why I said, you know, last week, you can't bet on Denver as a favorite. I don't care who they're playing. I don't care if they're in Carolina. You got to bet Carolina in that spot. It's exactly what happened. Carolina wins going away. So now, finally, the Broncos are getting some points. The look ahead here was 6.5. This number has jumped up to 8.5. I think I'm starting to see some 9s. Could it go to 10 by Sunday? Maybe. It's not impossible.
I kind of love the Broncos in this spot. Baltimore is not a good home cover team. I want to say they're 1-4 against the spread as a home at M&T in Baltimore up the interstate for me. I want to say they're also not a very good cover team as a favorite. I want to say 3-6 against the spread as a favorite. So just there's not a lot of great trend signs for betting on the Ravens in a spot like this. And Denver's finally gonna get some points. They're finally gonna get like plus a touchdown or more. So this is a spot. Am I a little nervous that that the Ravens go thermonuclear after the Jacksonville loss here and win like 45-2? Maybe. Sure. That's a tiny bit worrisome. But I think overall here, I think this is going to be a spot where you really need some intestinal fortitude to sign on with the Broncos. But I think the number here, this is the definition of bet the number, not the team. And I think the number here makes the Broncos pretty valuable. Last play here for the week, and it's a lean. Kind of like Dallas against the Colts, even at a high number. The Cowboys have really been putting away bad teams this year. They beat the Wentz Washington Commanders in week 4 by 15, beat the Rams by 12, beat the Lions by 18 when they weren't playing well, beat the Bears by 20 when they weren't playing well. Everybody knows what happened in Minnesota a couple weeks ago, and I don't even necessarily think the Vikings are bad. So the Colts on a short week because they lost to Pittsburgh on Monday Night Football. I think the honeymoon is over with Jeff Saturday, and I think kind of like what I referred to a couple weeks ago, the longer this Jeff Saturday interim coach stuff goes on, the more tape other teams have, the more time that other teams with competent and experienced coaching staffs have time to put stuff together and coach their guys against the Colts, the more time you have coaching gaps, I think that disadvantages the Colts more and more every week this goes by. So I think there are more opportunities to bet on the Colts going forward. I like Dallas here to be the better coached team, to be the much more talented team, better quarterback, better offense, better defense, better special teams. You name it, Dallas has the advantage in this game. And so I kind of like them to cover the number. I think there are better spots on the board, which is why it's just a lean for me, especially at a number like this. But I would lean Dallas in this spot. And that is your Lion's Edge for this week, December 1st. That's week 13 in the NFL and week 14 championship week in college football. Look, it's December now, and that means the podcast schedule is going to start to get a little weird. I'm going to have some vacation time. I'm going to have time with my family, time with Dr. Alex's family. I'm going to try to get on here sometimes to, you know, obviously we'll have, you know, weekly NFL handicaps. I would like to do some bonus college basketball content for you, working on setting up my next interview for you guys. Hear from some more sports betting experts and some intelligent stakeholders that I like to try to bring on the podcast, stuff like that. But, you know, the schedule's going to start to get a little more wonky. So just keep your eyes peeled for new episodes. Keep your eyes peeled on the Twitter feed or on the IG feed or whatever else is going on. Wherever you see the bat signals of this podcast, keep your eyes peeled there. And we'll see when the next episodes get out. Maybe something next Monday. Maybe something next Thursday. We'll just keep it to the NFL. I'm sure I'll have at least one and probably two bowl game betting episodes. Again, just keep your eyes out for that stuff. We'll get it out when we get it out. And I think that's it. Good luck with your bets this weekend. Really finishing the season strong in a lot of ways. Make sure you are tuned into the BetMGM blog. That is The Roar. You can find the link to that in the show notes of your podcast app. Again, good luck with the bets this weekend. Feel good about the card. Until next time, take it easy.